All right, if you will, open your Bibles back to Psalm 23. You'll see this morning that our theme is one of shepherding. I suspect many people, many kids were asked over the course of the past week one question. Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? Maybe some adults were asked that as well, but I'm sure many children were asked that question. And in some way, I'm sure the answer was no. We didn't get everything we wanted for Christmas. Well, I assume everyone got plenty. Several years ago, I read a book by Spencer Johnson. The name of the book was The Present. Maybe you've read it. Johnson is known kind of for his airplane-type books of things like One-Minute Manager, Who Moved My Cheese, business secular-type stuff that cause you to think a little bit. Good to read on a plane, and in fact, I read it on a plane a few years ago. But The Present is a play on words. It's presented as a gift, like a present, a Christmas present, if you will, a package, a prize. But if you read the book, you know what Johnson means by the present is that he's also referring to the time. That is, not in the past, not in the future, but the present. Again, it's a play on words because on the cover of the book, there's a picture of a package. And his whole theme is this. The secret to enjoying the present is to live in the present. So the gift is today. It's not living in the past, it's not living in the future, it's living in today. Because you're not able to go back in time, nor are you able to speed up the future. So the secret to enjoying life and work, according to Johnson, is to live in the present. Well, I think that concept, as I've reflected on the sermon, reflected on this month of Advent messages, is the perfect transition for us this week. You know, we have been in the last 4 weeks in the season of Advent, and Robert has preached phenomenal sermons during the season of longing. And the sermons have had a three-point outline. All the sermons have had the exact same. Essentially, what was true in the past, what's true currently, and what's true in the future. And what we've seen from Genesis chapter 3 is that sin came into the world, but it created a sense of expectation and longing. Then, of course, there was the inauguration of the gospel, of the coming of Christ, where there's something that very, very real happened with our longing, with our expectation. It came. But then, of course, there's Revelation 20 and 21 of what we ultimately long for, of everything that will happen in the future when Christ comes back. But now we can't live in the past. We can't live in the future. We're not in the book of Genesis and we're not in the book of Revelation. We're in the middle. Here we are. We're waiting for Christ to return. And yet, we're filled with God's Spirit as a down payment of all that He will do someday. So here we are. If you notice in your bulletin, you can open it back to the first page. In the life of the church calendar, we're no longer in Advent. This is the first Sunday, page one, the first Sunday after Christmas. Advent is over. Now it's time to move on. To live today in the present. In the last couple of weeks in the Randall household, some of y'all know the story, some of y'all have been part of the story, the Randalls have moved. We have moved from one neighborhood to another, and it turned into quite an issue. What happened is that we loaded our truck on a Thursday because we were closing on Friday. Well, in the sovereignty and providence of God, our closing date was pushed back a week. That is, after the truck was loaded, our closing date was pushed back a week. Now, I've been told that's not that big of a deal, but in our little world, that turned into quite a big deal. But here's essentially what it was. We had all of our stuff, and we knew exactly where we were going to go. We just couldn't go there yet. We essentially were in the middle. It was the epitome of the already not yetness of life. If you could look at it that way, that's exactly where we were. We knew what was going to happen. We knew where we were going, but we were in the middle. On this last Sunday of the year, on this last Sunday of the Christmas season, I want us to consider one of the great themes of both the Christmas season and all of Scripture. As you notice from the readings from Micah and from the Gospel of John, from the 23rd Psalm, even from Marshall's prayer, I want us to talk about shepherding in the context of today, of the present, of Christ shepherding us now. You see the title of the sermon, Our Present Shepherd. If you think of people as sheep and God as the shepherd, following this three-point outline of Advent, first you could look at the expectation. Throughout the entire Old Testament, God's people were continually referred to as sheep without a shepherd. We see it in the book of Numbers, chapter 27, Ezekiel, chapter 34, Zechariah, chapter 10, Psalm 119, the very last verse of this great, great Psalm, 119, the last verse, David says, I've gone astray like sheep without a shepherd. What we always saw in the Old Testament of God's people, they were always in need, always wandering, always struggling to find their way. And then Christ comes, the inauguration. Jesus shows up, Matthew chapter 9, he repeats the same refrain. He says he looked out and he had compassion because the people were like sheep without a shepherd. And his heart and his prayer was that laborers would be raised up to feed these sheep. John chapter 10, as we read this great news, that Jesus himself said that he is the good shepherd, that we are no longer lost and wandering, but rather our leader has now arrived. He's here. And then, of course, the consummation, Revelation 21 and 22, we know what is coming. Someday there will be a day of no more curse, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. Ultimate shepherding will come. Our future will be one greater than anything we can imagine. But what about today? What about now? What about us? How do we live today with the reality that we didn't get everything we wanted for Christmas? With the first Advent, when Christ came, it's all there, but it's all not there in completion. We're still longing for more. In light of the fact, even as Christians who love the gospel, there's still real pain. There's still real hurt. There's still real disappointment, even for Christians. So my hope for us this morning is that we will see more and more of what Christ is doing now, what he's doing today as our present shepherd. And I assure us all, we will barely scratch the surface of all that Christ is doing. But I want us, from Psalm 23, to think a couple of points. I want us to see how he reveals our need to us and how he provides a home for us. 2 points. He reveals our need, he provides a home. Psalm 23, this great song, written by David, dearly loved by many. The chief emphasis for today being, the Lord is my shepherd. Presently, currently, not in the future, but now. May we see how God, in his Son Jesus, takes care of us even today. First, he reveals our need. I suspect many of us have loved the psalm at various seasons of life. Certainly in times of mourning, certainly in times of grieving and sadness. The Lord uses this to remind us of his goodness and his promises to us. If you're unfamiliar with Psalm 23, I encourage you to go home even today. Read it, reread it, memorize it, meditate upon it, let it speak to you, let the Lord use it in your life, let the Lord grip your heart with it. As I have been praying through it over the last few weeks, it dawned on me what many of these promises are actually doing. It dawned on me what many of these lines of Scripture are doing in our lives even today, to see what God is doing for us, what he's shepherding, what he's doing for us. We actually realize what it is that our souls are in need of. I think for all of us, when we hear that the Lord is our shepherd, my shepherd, we may not know exactly what that means, because none of us really come from a hurting background, but we intuitively know that it's something that's good. It's something that we love. It's something that we long for. Dr. James Boyce said this about the role of a shepherd, and this is so great. He said that in David's day, the role of the shepherd was an assignment that no one wanted, because the shepherd had to live with the sheep 24 hours a day, It was the task of caring for them was one that was unending, day and night, summer and winter, in fair weather and in foul. The shepherd had to labor to nourish, to guide, and protect the sheep. So that's the picture. It's a job that was so hard, no one wanted to do it. Even so, someone had to do it. And what was custom in their day was that the youngest child was given the task, because the youngest child had the least value, so he was given the responsibility to do it. And shockingly, what we see from Scripture is that Jesus refers to himself as a shepherd, as a good shepherd. The job that no one else wanted because of the constant attention, that's the one that he took on. Boyce says that under the category of, in verse 1, I shall not want, says that there are six promises that we have as God's children. Let me list these. Six promises that we have as God's children that God is doing for us now. First, verse 2, he gives rest. That is physical rest. The ability, that is, to not constantly live with anxiety. That's a good promise. That's what God does. Rest that provides peace of mind, which comes directly from him to us. Secondly, in verse 3, Boyce says that he gives life. That is, when he says, restoring my soul, that means that God prevents us from being helpless, from being worthless, from having no meaning. That is, now we belong. We have purpose, we have meaning, we have value because of what he is doing. We're no longer wandering aimlessly. Third, verse 3, we have guidance. That is, in our foolishness, in our state without him, now with him, he will provide insight to us for decision-making, for choices, for wisdom, and all of our daily needs. God will provide guidance. Fourthly, verse 4, our shepherd provides safety. That is, he's with us. In the power of his Holy Spirit, we are not alone. We have his providence, we have his plan, we have his protection. He is our shepherd, we are his sheep, he protects us. Fifthly, verse 5, he provides for us. There is very real provision. God will provide our needs. He knows them, he gives us our daily bread, all that we need. He knows them, he is the owner of all things, he will provide. Then lastly, verse 6, of course, he provides a heavenly home. We'll speak more of this in just a moment. But we know with certainty that we will spend eternity with him. Life lasts beyond the grave. Think about it. Of those six actions, these things that our shepherd does for us, can we not all relate? Of those six needs, think about it. Do you ever struggle with anxiety? Do you ever feel helpless or hopeless? Do you ever struggle to know what your purpose is? Do you ever feel lost and abandoned? Do you ever feel scared or alone? Do you ever have a financial need or a relational need? Do you ever think about life after death? Consider these questions. I suspect we all think about them and think about them a lot because they're very real. They're foundational for us just to be human beings. And the point is that if you're struggling with any of these very normal, very real questions, you don't have to think of yourself as someone who is strange, as someone who is weird, someone who's an outcast, or someone who thinks I'm in this all by myself. No, you don't need to think of yourself like that at all. Rather, you need to see yourself as God sees you. You're a sheep in need of a shepherd. You're a person in need of constant care. You're a human in need of a Savior. You're a soul in need of Christ. Your need has been realized, but your diagnosis has been given. What's true of every one of us is that we are people who need constant care. And we have a shepherd who does that. In the summer of 2000, The Randalls went through a very difficult season of our life. Much worse than moving. Lisa went through, really overnight, or instantly, it felt like at the time, a season of intense abdominal pain. And when I say intense, I mean intense. And when I say pain, I mean pain. And it seemed at the time like it was so quickly. It was so severe, we were having a perfectly normal summer day in July. Within an hour after that, we were at the emergency room. And for the next 12 hours or so, it may have been longer, it may have been shorter, I really don't remember, it felt like forever. We had no idea what was going on with her body. All we knew is that she was struggling, that she was hurting, and we were at the emergency room because something was going on, completely out of the blue. Well, here's the good news. The good news. After tests were run, we learned that Lisa suffers from adhesions of scar tissue as a result of an appendectomy, which can lead to an obstruction in her small intestine. That's the good news. It didn't really sound like good news, but I promise you, it was good news in comparison to having no idea what was going on. It was great to know actually what the problem was. And now we can plan accordingly. We know what the issue is. We know someone how to treat it, etc. But here's the truth for us spiritually. We don't have to live in darkness about what are the issues in our life. We know what they are. We are people in need of a Savior. It's true for us. God has revealed that in our humanity, He is the solution. He is. It's not something else. I think we all need to accept and be honest with ourselves, honest with our world, and recognize what sin has done to us and to our world. If you are here and you think that no one can relate to your struggle, let me assure you that we're all in the same boat together. And our stories may be different, our backgrounds may be different, but our needs are the exact same. We are people. We are human beings affected by the fall, and the result is Christ Himself. You don't need to look elsewhere to explain what is going on in your heart. You have a Savior. Jesus said, "The truth shall set you free." The truth for all of us is that we are people who need a shepherd today, and we have one. Come to Him. Receive His care. Receive all that He has for you. Don't be blind about your needs. Don't look elsewhere. Come to the shepherd. So how does Jesus shepherd us today? First, He reveals our need by revealing what He's doing to us. But secondly, He gives us a home. Look back at 23rd Psalm, verses 5 and 6. Let me read this again. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Such a beautiful picture of our life today and forevermore. He's reminding us of at least two things inside of this home. This home that He provides. First, it's permanent. And second, it's active. This first. First, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. This home that He has provided for us is a permanent home. The blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the house of God, namely, His goodness and His mercy. That is His goodness, His favor, His blessing, that which is upon us as His children. His mercy, the fact that we don't get what we deserve, those things are forever. They are permanent. We are now part of His existence, and we will be with Him forever. Our salvation that we have in Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the adoption into His family, our entrance into His kingdom, these are not things that will come and go. They're permanent. This is a household that will last forever. This is a major doctrine of our faith, and it is precious to us that when God saves us, when He opens our eyes to His kingdom, and our faith is placed in and on Christ for all that He has done, we have His promises forever. Forever. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Many of you have this as a favorite verse, I'm sure. John says this, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Inside of this permanent home that God has for us, I know of no greater encouragement than I can give you this morning than to understand that it is real and it is permanent. No greater encouragement than for us to know the realization that God's salvation for us will not be taken away. It will not go away. It will not leave. That our faith in Christ and His promises will last forever. It's not like a house that will go away. Rather, it is permanent. Be encouraged. Today, your salvation is real. It will not be lost. This home is permanent, but also notice from verse 6 that this home is active. This home is all around us. I love verse 6, and I suspect many of us do. Of course, David is referring to our eternal dwelling place with God. This is what is central to Psalm 23 and why it's often read at funerals. But yet, this house of the Lord, we also understand from the rest of Scripture, is to understand that it has actually already begun, that it's here. It's a heavenly place on earth. We have His body now. We have the local manifestation of His church, His called out ones, local congregations of His people gathered together all over the world in churches just like this one. His body. It's the central place where He meets with us as His people. When we gather here, He is active in shepherding us. Inside of a local church is where we are designed to be. It's where we are designed to grow. It's where He comes and meets with us as sheep. The church of Jesus Christ is the place where the gifts of God's Spirit are present. It's where genuine fellowship is available. It's where all the means of grace are present. It's where God's word is read, it's preached, it's taught, where worship is offered in truth and spirit, where community is available with Him and with each other. Verse 5, so beautiful. David, even in the Old Testament, references this idea of a meal in the presence of the enemy. And we can see the beauty of table fellowship with God, even here, that we can clearly be reminded of the grace that we receive each month when we take the Lord's Supper together. This is where the Lord feeds us. Make no mistake, this home is active. The Lord shepherds us when we are here. It is good. It's in the midst of chaos that we meet with Him. You know, over the past week, I'm sure many of us have visited. We have had family in our homes, or we have gone to be with family. I was reminded as we were driving to Tennessee on Christmas Day to see my parents of that old song that we hear on the radio, "There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays." Of course that's true, and of course that has all kind of meanings associated with it, good, bad, and ugly. When we were with my parents, the day after Christmas, having breakfast together, you know what the topic of conversation was? My parents telling my children about all the different times I was spanked as a child. And I remember sitting there thinking, yeah, that's right. There's no place quite like home for the holidays. There's nowhere else I could go and go through this torture. You know, the reality is, the church is active. We are shepherded here. Tate's Creek Presbyterian Church is not perfect. You don't have to be here long to realize that. But what's unique about local congregations like Tate's Creek is not our perfection or lack of there. Rather, it's that we aim to spend our time talking about the one who is perfect. The purpose of us being here this morning is to worship the one who has taken care of all of our needs, of dreaming of his return together, of celebrating all he has done, of feasting with him around his table, of introducing other people to him, of learning more of him and his ways. That's active. That's what occurs here. He is the object. And as we are doing that, he shepherds us. As you ponder 2013, as you prepare for another year, do not take church for granted. Jesus is here. He's doing something to us. He's doing something for us. He's doing something through us. We may not be able to see it. We may not be able to feel it, but it is happening. He is our present shepherd as we are here. So, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? I doubt it. And we haven't gotten everything that we longed for when Christ came the first time. So, of course, we long for him to return. But we have so much now. We have so much. He is our shepherd today. Amen.